I'm not for sure who needs to hear this. I guess I need to hear it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. And all you like family and mom, dad, you're like parents to me. And Aunt Carol, you're like my Aunt Carol. And you're like my sister-in-law. And my grandma's here. So I appreciate you all very much. I thank God for this place and for the church here and for you people that I've grown with for a long time, and I can't thank you enough for all for support of my family and for helping me with the kids. And it's just a blessing to see you encourage them and be kind to them and help them. And so I'm just grateful for my family and for my church family and for God and how He's worked in my life. And I don't deserve His love. And so I just ask that you'd pray for me as I preach tonight, that He'd give me the words to say. And let's bow our heads real quick before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son to die and pay the price for our sins. Father, help us to be grateful people, Lord. Ones that turn to You in everything and realize that You have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And Father, I'd ask that You'd just help us to increase our faith and trust in You. And Father, we don't know how to do that without You, and we can't make it without Your help. Lord, just be with us, Lord, as we meet tonight, that Your Spirit moves amongst Your people. And use me, Lord, as I speak for You and Your behalf. And Father, again, we just pray for Pastor and the kids. We just hope that they had a good time and that, Father, they made decisions and that You'd remind them of those decisions and that travel and continue to be with them long after the conference is over. Give us a good night in Your house, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had a poem in my Bible for a long time, and now Amy has a poem that's in the front of her Bible, and it's titled Attitude. It says, "My attitude is more important than my past experience, than my education, than money. My attitude is more important than my circumstance, my failures or successes. My attitude is more important than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than my appearance, my giftedness, skill or talent. My attitude will make or break my business, my church, my home, or me as a person. The remarkable thing is that I have a choice every day regarding the attitude I will embrace for that day. I cannot change my past. I cannot change the fact that people will act a certain way. I cannot change the inevitable. I cannot change my circumstance, but I can change my attitude. My attitude is clearly seen by others." Excuse me. "Not by my actions, but by my reactions. It has been said that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to what happens." And so tonight I'm going to talk to you about our attitudes. Like I said, don't shoot the messenger. I'm not pointing it or mean it towards anybody. Like I say, I need it as much as y'all do. And so there's actually no reason for us to ever have a bad attitude. God has a purpose and a will for each one of our lives, and we're not allowed to question it or try to figure it out. God wants us to trust in His perfect plan. It's called faith, because we can't see the next step. We can't see what God has for us tomorrow or the next day or next month or next year. And I know that the Lions didn't come into the summer furlough realizing that one of them would be in heaven and the other one would be in a hospital. And so we aren't guaranteed tomorrow. I talked with a man today who his father died 6 months ago, and then now he's taking his wife to cancer treatments. So a year ago, everything was fine, and now his life's turned upside down. So we just need to be grateful people for the time that God has given to us. But knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for our life, and that the devil will try to use everything that comes in our life to hurt us or to make us discouraged, but he can use everything in our life for good. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so Jesus has already blazed the trail for us, but he's also the author, as in he writes as we go. And so there's no plan, or there's no book, or there's no book that has everything that's going to happen to us. We just have to trust him. I find that when I have a bad attitude, it's usually because my focus has been in the wrong place. And so I'd ask you tonight, what are you focusing on? I think Pastor in his recent months have been really trying to get us to realize the things that we meditate on, the things that we think on, are going to have a huge effect or an impact on our attitude. And if all we do is look at the news and look at the what's going on around us, and we can sit there and wring our hands and get upset about things that we have no control over and things that we can't change, or we can focus on this book and the promises that he's given to us and spend our time meditating on his word. And that's what's going to help us not being up on the current events or the latest things. And so I think is what I've been getting for his messages as long as I've been awake, I guess, is that he's trying to get us our focus in the right place. And if our focus is in the right place, I believe our attitude will be in the right place. Just like David, the man after God's own heart, spent much time in prayer and had to pray and had to ask God for help, we need to ask God for help. Our help comes from above and not our feelings. Our feelings, God gave us, and it's a good thing that we have feelings, but we never should react on our feelings. Our feelings come from our heart, and our heart is desperate and deceitfully wicked. And so the things out of our heart don't always need to come out of our heart. Or just like the things that are inside of us and the way we feel don't always need to come outside. I've learned this lesson the hard way many times. I've been married for 23 years, or happily married, I should say, for 23 years. But out of 27, that's not too bad. I know that I have said things and I wanted to stop myself, but it's too late. So I've learned one valuable lesson, and that is to pray before you say. And truly, it's hard to, once we've let those words fly, is to take them back. And sorry doesn't cut it, and sorry doesn't do it. So I've learned to rehearse in my mind how that's going to sound, how that's going to react. I kind of play like a chess game. Like I said, you have feelings, and you can't help but feel the way you feel. But that doesn't mean that that's the wisest thing to say or do. And so I'll play the chess game in my mind, back and forth. You know, if I say that, how's it going to be taken? And then I go to the end, and that's checkmate. Well, that ain't good. So I back up and say, well, maybe I can say it this way. And that isn't always the best thing. So the best thing to do is pray, and I'll have a three-way conversation going with my Lord and the Holy Spirit, and just say, Lord, this is how I feel, and you know my heart, but I want to do the right thing. I want to say the right thing. I want to be a help and not a hindrance. And so as I have a discussion with my Lord, and the Holy Spirit usually always sides with my Lord, and I always get rejected, but or say, no, this ain't the right thing to say, or this ain't the right thing to do. But I'm thankful for a friend that we have in Jesus. So anytime I can tell him when I want to complain, I can complain to him. When I have a burden or I feel a certain way, he'll listen. And so all day long, I'll just talk with my Lord. And like I say, the Holy Spirit usually joins his side, but and then sometimes he tells me I don't need to say anything, and he'll take care of it. And he does. So our attitude greatly depends on what we meditate on. Now, I know that our text tonight, I'm taking out of Psalms 51, one of my favorite psalms. So if you guys will turn there with me. That was all introduction, so we got the introduction out of the way. We'll get to Scripture and get to the message here. In Psalms 51, most everybody knows that that's a song where Nathan came to David and approached him about his sin, and he realized a few things and got it right. The Bible says in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." And so the first thing I see that David, a man after God's own heart, did was he cried for help. David puts a cry for help. He humbly comes before God, not as the king of Israel, not as a great warrior, not as a man of God, but he comes as a sinner humbly before God. And we in this first couple of verses, in 1 through 4, we see that David realizes who he is and who God is. He realizes that he's a sinner and God is. Verse number 4, he is the mighty judge or the righteous judge. He's also the giver of mercy and loving kindness. And so David realizes that he needs God more than anything. In verse number 5, David realizes that, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And then he says, back up to verse number 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. And against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil." Friends, I don't know. I know some of us wake up in the morning and are ready to go and happy and have a good spirit and a good attitude, but not everybody's like that. And I know there's mornings I struggle with that. And before I get in front of people, I need to get myself ready for that, because the devil's going to try to hit you with every chance he can to try to ruin your day, to discourage you from the get-go. And so we need to arise early, and the first thing we need to do is cry for God for help like David did. Realize that God is the giver of mercy and His kindness and wants the best for us. And He'll help us if we ask. So we need to come and cry out to God and ask. Secondly, I see that we need to find out what God wants and what God's desire is for our life. If we're to please Him, we first come humbly like David did and ask for help, and realize who we are, but we need to realize what God wants. Verse number 16 says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I give it. Thou desirest not burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. And so that's what God desires of us, is not our abilities, not our talents, but our availability and our willing to follow His leading. A heart that has a desire to serve Him and do what He wants, no matter what it is. Not all of us are cut out to be preachers or missionaries, but God needs faithful witnesses everywhere. God needs in every walk of life, and that's why He's placed you in the job you're in and the place you're in, is to be that light. And so God is not pleased with the sacrifices, the things we give up, the work we do, as much as He is pleased with our heart that has a desire to please Him. A broken spirit when we do wrong, want to be right with our Heavenly Father. I remember many times as a kid, I knew I'd get in trouble, I'd get a whipping, and I justly deserved it. That didn't bother me as much as when my father said he was ashamed of me. And that hurt more than any whipping that I could ever get. And so our Heavenly Father is the same way. When we do wrong, and we should, there should be a Holy Spirit be grieved in your heart. If you can do sin and do things wrong, and you have no remorse, and there's no pain in your heart, you need to check and make sure you're a child of God, because the Holy Spirit will be grieved when you do things wrong. And there'll be a desire for you to want to get right with your Heavenly Father. And so we want to have a broken and contrite spirit before the Lord. It's time to get real with God. We can't hide anything from Him. He desires, in verse number 6, it says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom." I think that so many people have gone through the motions of being a Christian. They know the right things to say and the right things to do, but we can't fool God. And so when the test of our faith comes, whenever we get persecution, whenever things happen, bad things happen, people get sick, people die, that's when we know whether we've been real with God or not. And we've allowed Him to truly be a friend closer than a brother. So we need to strive to, like I say, put our focus on Him. And to get real with God and to make sure that we have a relationship with Him, that we can go to Him with anything and that we can be real with Him. And lastly, the reason I see that is to fulfill God's will or plan for our life. In verse number 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and hold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." We see after that we humbly come before God, that we confess our sin, that we realize who God is and who we are, sinners, and Him, a holy, righteous God who can give us those tender mercies. We plead to Him for that mercy. We get right with Him down and ask Him to search our hearts, to show us what's in there, and to make it right. That we can have, He can restore that joy. In verse number 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And it's so good whenever we confess our sins to God and we can develop that relationship and we can be right with Him again. And then we can lift that burden off our shoulders. But we can go about doing the business that He has for us. And that's just telling others about Him. That we can, verse number 13, "And we can teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." We live our lives for Him and His plan. And that God hasn't promised us that there won't be rain come or hard times, but He does promise that He'll be with us and walk with us. And He can give you a good attitude if you let Him. So I would ask you, just make sure that you focus on His Word and His truth. And the things that He's done, never forget where you came from, what He's done for you, what He's kept you from. I just Again, I thank God for all the blessings He's given to me and my family, and I get when I get sideways, He'll remind me of that, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, to how He works. And I just ask that you guys would pray before you say. Just be careful and be mindful of how you speak to other people. We can tell the truth, but we need to tell it in love. So as I'd ask you, as David did, realize who God is and who you are and ask for help. I know it's nothing new, but it's something that we need to be reminded of all the time. And I thank you for listening so good. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we